Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Telenor and to the presentation of the quarterly results for the first quarter of 2009. My name is Scott Engelicen, and I have the pleasure of guiding you through this morning's presentation. We hope that everyone has the material that we've made available. That is our press release, the quarterly report, and a copy of the presentation to be used here in a minute. And you can also find this information on our website at telenor.com. You can also watch the presentation live or in recording on either the internet or on a mobile phone. And if you are using the internet, you may also send in your written questions during this transmission, and you'll find instructions from our website. As usual, there will be a Q&A session directly after the presentation here. We'll start with the audience presence, and then we'll go on with the participants on the phone before we finally give the opportunity to do individual interviews. And to present the figures today, we have our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and our CFO, Trond Westlie. And first, I'll leave the floor to Mr. Baksaas.
Yeah, good morning to all. Welcome to this first quarter 2009. For this first quarter 2009, we are delivering strong cash flows in a challenging business environment. There have been significant changes in the business environment throughout this winter, and of course, this is also something that stretches into the telecom sectors.
Oh, here we are. Sorry.
We are now seeing an economic slowdown influencing telecom spending in some of our markets, especially in Eastern Europe. In spite of this, we maintain market positions and uphold strong margins. We have adjusted our cost and CapEx levels to this economic slowdown, and as a consequence of this, this results in a strong operating cash flow this quarter. When comparing Q1 2008, our operating cash flow has improved by almost 2 billion Norwegian crowns into this quarter. I have to say, though, that one of those of that billion is related to a satellite in the first quarter 2008 on the CapEx side. Moving to Norway. Norway is less affected by the global financial crisis than most other economies. And our Norwegian fixed and mobile operations are delivering a strong performance this quarter. In Denmark, revenue growth in mobile was offset by declining revenues from fixed. We are on track with the integration of our Danish fixed and mobile operations into one organization, and we'll launch the Telenor brand in Denmark in June this summer. Sweden continues to be challenging for us. We are not satisfied with the current performance. Some measures have already been initiated, but we have not seen necessary effects from these initiatives yet. We will now look further into improvements in all areas and implement methods accordingly in the Swedish operation. Despite the challenges in Sweden, we still see the Nordic Norwegian kroner 10 billion operating cash flow target within reach. In broadcast, which is not part of our Nordic financial reporting, but has a significant operations in this region, broadcast delivered solid revenue growth also this quarter and continued to increase its broadband subscriber base in all three countries, but Norway in particular. Moving then to Central and Eastern Europe. In the Central and Eastern Europe region, we have seen a worsening in the macroeconomic environment this quarter. Especially the Ukrainian economy has been severely hit by the global economic crisis, with significant drop in domestic industrial production and a weakening of the Ukrainian currency as a consequence. We now see effects from the weakened Ukrainian economy also in the telecom sector and the mobile spending. In addition to the market slowdown, Kyivstar's reported revenues in Norwegian kroner were significantly impacted by the weakening of the Ukrainian currency against the Norwegian kroner. And the currency explains, in fact, 75% of the revenue decline measured in Norwegian kroner. In spite of the revenue decline, Kyivstar maintained a very strong EBITDA margin in the high 50s. Panon also maintained its EBITDA margin in spite of the reduction in mobile termination rates. Usage is keeping up reasonably well. In Serbia, the effects of the recession are less visible, with an organic revenue growth of 4% and a stable ARPU. Our Serbian operation has delivered another solid quarter, keeping costs down. Under the present environment, the main focus in Central and Eastern Europe for the Telenor operation will be focused on cost and capex control. Moving then to Asia. Market growth has slowed down in all our Asian operations compared to first quarter 2008. However, we see signs of stabilizing trends in usage and revenues over the last couple of quarters. In Bangladesh, low subscriber growth and reduced subsidies gave Grameenphone a solid EBITDA margin of 59%. In spite of a challenging business condition in Pakistan, we have managed to maintain the margin level from 2408. In Malaysia, Digi continues to show good momentum on postpaid, however we see somewhat weakness in the foreign workers segment. In Thailand, the weak sentiment continued during Q1 this year. Q1 is normally the seasonally strongest quarter in Thailand. This time usage and revenues in local currencies were in line with Q4 2008, and DTAC also see weaker signs on international roamers. CapEx has decreased significantly in this quarter in our Asian operations. This is partly a result of adjusting investment plan to the current traffic volumes, but also due to completion of large projects, as well as high activities in the fourth quarter last year. As a consequence, cash flows have improved considerably, in particular in Bangladesh and Pakistan. So Leslie will show you this more in detail in his part of the presentation. The closing of the Unitech Wireless transaction in India in March marks a milestone for the Telenor Group activities in Asia. An experienced management team is now in place and is working on the putting the operations into the operating mode, according to the business plan we have established for the project. Recruitment of personnel and building up the organization is now ongoing, as is the hiring of vendors and other suppliers to this project. Our ambition is to launch services in a limited number of circles in the second half of this year. Rollout and launch will follow a circle-by-circle approach, as we have previously communicated. In Russia, as you know, a court ruling in Omsk in Siberia in February held Telenor liable of alleged damages of $1.7 billion to VimpelCom. In a case filed by Firenex, which is a minor shareholder of VimpelCom of 0.02%. In March, our VimpelCom shares were arrested by a Russian bailiff acting on behalf of Fermax. This court case is controversial, not only when it comes to the foreign investment clients in Russia, but also internally in Russia when we analyze Russian media on the subject. From our perspective, it's difficult to see that actions will be taken to sell our Wilpocon shares before the case has been heard in the Supreme Arbitration Court in Moscow. However, we cannot dismiss the fact that the legal basis for a sale is in place and the risk attached to that. We will, of course, continue to defend our investment in Russia as we've done on a number of occasions by all possible legal measures. The hearing in of our appeal to the Omsk ruling will commence in Tymen on 26th of May. Next step will be the Supreme Arbitration Court in Moscow. Our clear view is that the case is untounted and thus will and should be dismissed by the Supreme Arbitration Court. Closing in on operational progress for 2009. As communicated in February at the Q4 announcement, we focused on cost efficiency and capex control, adapting to a more challenging business environment. We are closely monitoring spending, and in Q1 we have managed to control OPEX and cut back on CAPEX. Some of the cash flow improvements this quarter have been realized through lower sales and marketing expenses and postponed investment activities. However, going forward, we will continue to focus on cost and CAPEX efficiency to obtain also sustainable improvements. We have initiated efficiency programs in all our operations and raised the awareness across the group by setting clear targets and expectations. As a consequence of the increased focus on efficiency following the investment in India and the global crisis, financial crisis in general, we will step up the Telenor Group activities directly towards best practices, improved efficiencies, and a more effective innovation by combining research and innovation and global coordination into a new group function with clear focus on business development, headed by Morten Karlsen Sørby. In parallel with this, a key operational priority in 2009 is the startup of our Indian operation, delivering on our business plan. We clearly acknowledge that we have many challenges ahead of us. However, we are on track and are confident that we have the necessary competence to succeed in that project. I then give the floor to Trond, who will take us through financials for the first quarter of 2009.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Probably not the best time in this world to say that we have a sore throat, but excuse my voice today if I have to do something like this. So, going to the first quarter, I do think that the first quarter is characterized by basically three elements. It's the stable revenue and market still and margin development. We are, the second one is that we are continuing the positive cash flow trend as we have seen lately. And also the last one, which is a negative one, is the low net income in the quarter due to the big exchange loss estimate in Wimpelcom of 1.9 billion Norwegian kroners. Looking at this development, you see that this quarter's revenue is a bit more than 27 billion Norwegian kroners, including Kyivstar, with an organic revenue growth of, well, fairly flat, with a 3% reported revenue growth from 26.3 to 27.1. EBITDA is at 9.3 or short of 9.3 billion, and the margin is at 34. The currency effect is fluctuating this quarter as well, but not as much as the fourth quarter last year. We see that revenue is is 3.1%, but underlying or organic is 0%. And it's marginal changes to the EBITDA. But again, if you look at the variances of the different currencies that we're in, we see that it is a big negative trend in Ukraine with QSR of 24% negative this quarter. But we also see it's a lot of positive elements in Denmark, in DG, and in Grameenco that is on the positive side. But all in all, it's ending up with the difference between 3% reported and 0% organic. As Fredrik mentioned, going into 2009, the focus on cost control, efficiency, as well as CapEx control is one of the fundamental elements relative to how we see the underlying value drivers are moving. And this quarter, we see that the CapEx level is just short of 3.3 billion Norwegian kroner, down to 12% CapEx to sales. We see also the bridge from last year. The CapEx has been reduced in Asia, fairly stable in Central Eastern Europe, flattish development in the Nordic, and then the broadcast basically comprises of the launch of the satellite last year in the first quarter. Even though we're at 12% CapEx to sales in the first quarter, we are expecting somewhat higher CapEx, and I'll get back to that in the guiding for the year. If you then look at the trend, the cash flow trend, you see that the quarterly operating cash flow are varying a lot. Now, like in the fourth quarter, we were closing down a lot of CapEx projects in some of our Asian countries, and therefore the CapEx were high in the fourth quarter, and you see that then the operational cash flow goes down to 2.5 billion. But if you look to the left, to the right of the chart, you see that it's a fourth quarter rolling operational cash flow, and you see that the trend coming out of the fourth quarter, coming out of beginning of 2008, you see a steady trend moving upwards. And since we are having that on a rolling four quarters, you see that the trend has been consistent over a period of time, and we actually see that that is one of the elements that we come into a more mature phase, and therefore we're seeing that this trend will develop. If we look at then some of the reasons for this, is that we've divided each of these operational cash flow elements into each of the regions. Looking at the Nordic regions to the left, you see that it has been, well, just to explain, the shaded gray in the back is the fourth quarter rolling 1 year back, and the blue one is the fourth quarter rolling now. So you see that the trend in the Nordic sector has been very flattish. The Norwegian business, both Volvo and Fix, is doing well. The margins, the cash flow margins in Sweden and Denmark is consistent, even though it needs improvement relative to our aim of 10 million Norwegian kroners in cash flow. But if you go to the Central Eastern Europe, you see a very good trend. You see that all of the operations are actually improving their operational cash flow. And also, if you look at Serbia, coming from sort of getting into the market and then being more operational in the market, is a very good improvement during the last year. And also, when it comes to Asia, you see that it is, as I said last time, we hit the accumulated cash flow break-even last year, beginning first quarter of 2008. And one of the reasons you see is basically that Grameenco is coming from a negative trend to a positive trend, and also the reduction in the negative trend in Pakistan is decreasing quite dramatically. So in total, this is basically that you see that all our operations now, except for Pakistan, is in the operating cash flow generating mode, or positive generating mode, and we expect that to continue and develop during 2009. Going then to the reported income statement, reported revenues is on 24,777,000,000, approximately 7% increase in top line revenue growth from last year, and the EBITDA is close to 7.9 million Norwegian kroners, leaving us at an EBITDA of 7,843,000,000. The biggest change in numbers is the associated lines, basically coming down to reasoning for the low number in the third quarter of 2009 is the currency exchange, or the exchange, foreign exchange loss in VimpelCom, that we have taken a charge of 1.9 billion. In addition to that, it is also that the revenue number and the earnings number for Kyivstar has also been reduced as a result of the currency effect going into first quarter of 2009, but that is a much smaller number, and the effect of that is basically year over year less than 200 million Norwegian kroner. So this number is basically as a result of the foreign exchange loss in VimpelCom. When you compare the numbers, we also have to take into consideration that the 3 billion in associated company in revenue in income last year was affected by the sale of Gold Telecom with a gain of 1.6 billion. The taxes is just ahead of 1 billion, an effective tax rate this quarter of 33%. The underlying tax rate estimate for the year of 32% is still there, so that hasn't changed. But it's basically an effect of the elements that happens in the associate company's life. Net income is then 2.1 billion and leaves earnings per share at 98 cents. And net interest bearing debt development goes down from 45.5 to 40 billion. The major element of that is, of course, the earnings during the quarter, but it's also the CapEx paid of 3.7, the consolidation of debt in India as a result of our acquisition, and then it's the dividend paid from Kyivstar, 1.4 billion, and the currency effects going the other way this quarter than last quarter of 3.4 billion, leaving us at 40 billion Norwegian kroners. The development in the maturity line of Telenor during the quarter has changed a bit. We have taken approximately 4.7 billion out of the refinancing needs, or refinanced that during 2009 and forwarded it to 2012. We have now committed credit lines of 27 billion that is readily available, and basically, that's going to cover us for the next 3 years if in the case that the market goes back to the status it were in October last year. And we certainly don't hope that. So that means that relative to the refinancing risk of Telenor, I would say it's very little the next 3 years. Then going to the outlook for 2009, we maintain our outlook for 2009 that the organic revenue development is going to be in line with 2008, that the EBITDA is going to be around the 34% level, and CapEx to sales is going to be in the range of 15 to 17%. Having said that, as we said during fourth quarter presentation, and also and giving this outlook for 2009, we said that the top line estimate for our outlook is the most uncertain. And when we look at the effects of what's coming out of, for example, Ukraine right now, we see that it is a trend, a slight negative relative to in line with the 2008 as a result of what's happening in Ukraine in the first quarter. As we see it now, it's very difficult to predict how stable the different elements in our portfolio is going to be, and we still maintain that the highest uncertainty we have on this guiding is on the revenue line. But we still think it's correct to say that we're going to be in line with 2008. Going to India, we maintain our previous guiding on that. We see that the launch date might have slided slightly, but we still maintain that guiding level for 2009, even though we're going to be on the low side, but we're going to update this guiding when we present the second quarter numbers. So with that, I'll conclude the number review for the first quarter of 2009.
We're now ready to take your questions, so please, Mr. Bucco, also enter the podium. And before you ask your questions, please wait for the microphone to be sent over, and also please state your name. I will start with the audience present, and we have a question here from Arjun Isabel.
Hi, I already have a question. Could you give us a little more color on how you see development going from here in the Central Eastern Europe, given the very big GDP lines that are forecasted? You have relatively modest organic declines for operations. So can you give us some thoughts on what you think from here in Ukraine and Serbia?
It's difficult to be more precise than we were in the statements already given, combined from Leslie and myself. We've seen that the telecom spending, generally speaking, has been one of those elements in people's pockets that hasn't suffered that much. But if we go back to what happened during the oil crisis and the consequential rise, the sudden rise in food prices in Asia last year, then we saw the consumers basically took a quick adjustment of their consumption for a period of time, both in Thailand and in particular in Bangladesh. But after time again, then we see that consumers that basically feels confident around their existing cash flow anyway, and as a consequence, communication consumption picks up again. So maybe there is an effect there that people generally are looking at an immediate worsening of their situation, but that the first effect basically is sort of certain overreaction to what the real effects are after a period of time, so that usage picks up again. But this is a type of speculation that I think everyone has to make its rational around, but we see at least some of the effects of that kind. But if we then attach the corporate sector, which basically in some countries really see effects on exports falling with drastic figures, there of course there will be some long-term effect if manufacturing production doesn't come back to a certain speed, not necessarily the speed they had back in 2006, but sort of, and there are indications in some manufacturing sectors that we are seeing a kind of bottom in the curve of production.
When we follow the minutes of production of each country, we see that the domestic minutes are actually fairly stable. They're not going as they used to, but they're fairly stable in most of our countries. There are variations, some slight declines, some slight growth, but they're actually fairly stable relative to how we've actually seen the development so far this year. What really affects us is the international traffic. The international traffic has gone down quite substantially. It actually varies very much from country to country, but that is the one element that has sort of had the most net effect and also revenue effect as we see it right now. But it has been more actually more stable and more resilient than actually can be seen in each country's economic development.
Okay, we have a question here from Martin Hoff, RT.
Hi, it's Martin Hoff from Arctic. I have three questions. First one, could you give us an update on the process of dividend payments in QStar? When will they be paid and what is your latest estimate of the amount of dividend payments? And then second question, the NOK 10 billion cash flow target for the Nordics seems to be a little bit of a moving target. Can you give a little bit more specifics what is in reach means? Does it mean 2009 or 2010? And then thirdly, your comments on scaling your business to the current macroeconomic climate, does that also apply to your India launch? And is the delay on launch in India a decision you've made, or is it just delays in the general process? And do you maintain your subscriber uptake and ARPU guidance for India? Thanks.
You start on QStar, I think.
Well, start on QStar. As we said, the timing of the element is that we have scheduled to finish the audit during the first half for 2006 and 2007. And we are planning on finishing the audit in the second half of 2008. That means that when the audited figures are finished, we can decide on the dividend for 2006 and 2007 and start paying that. And then after finalizing the audit for 2008, we can decide on the dividend for 2008 and pay that. The timing of that and the element or the amount relative to what applies to 2006, 2007, and 2008, we haven't given any estimates on that. Basically, QStar now has a bank balance or a net debt or net asset or net cash position of approximately 4.5 billion Norwegian kroner. We expect most of that to be distributed during the year, but of course they do need some cash retained in the company relative to working capital and sort of liquidity variety, but that's on a 100% basis. So the element is that there shouldn't be any need for QStar to have any additional cash more than sort of the day-to-day needs as of such. And then again, when it comes to the final numbers, we have to look at the audited figures relative to how much of free reserves and everything there that is actually distributable. But that's sort of the best case.
As to your second question, the 10 billion Norwegian kroner target for the Scandinavian operation, you leave the moving target. We set that up in the Capital Markets Day in 2007. And we set that up as a sort of medium-term target for us. So we do believe that as things are standing, as per said in the beginning of 2009, we will begin to see the rolling target reaching in the direction of 10 billion from the end of the year. As for India, in India we don't see sort of a setback of the financial crisis. On the contrary, actually the speed of the customer uptake for existing operators has increased. So it's about time that Telenor come to this market and pick part of that growth. This also comes, of course, that particularly Reliance are putting strong emphasis on their CDMI conversion to GSM. So the speed in the market has actually increased through the winter, and so we believe that the pickup rate here during this year will be kept high among our existing operators, and of course also run spurred further by ourselves later in the year. So the delay here is more described as a slight delay in launch. It's more an effect of the closing date, which was done right before Easter. So we are sticking to the parameters that we have had in around the engine project previously, and that's the basis for our launch for the end of this year.
Great, thank you.
We have another question here. If you just pass off on the microphone, please.
Hi, Petten Torgerson, Carnegie. Just a follow-up on the Swedish, more related to the Swedish operation. In the report you state that you're looking to uphold your revenue market share for the year. You're going to reach the 10 billion cash flow for the Nordic operations this year. And as far as I can see, your market share in Sweden had a small decline this quarter. Could you give us some more in-depth how you are going to achieve that goal, or are we just mainly looking at CapEx decline for 2009?
The Swedish operation has a sort of three revenue streams of significance. Number one is sort of the old voice fixed line based business model, and it's the broadband plus the broadband activities, and then the mobile business model. And we see growth in the mobile side. The fixed line voice model is on a steady decline. And we still see that the Swedish market has a distance to go when it comes to come to par with the mix of mobile minutes and fixed minutes overall. There is still mobile migration to the mobile systems that will happen in the Swedish market compared to how far Norway and Denmark and Finland have developed in that sense. So we see growth in the mobile side. We see reductions in turnover on the fixed minutes, and we have decided not to pursue the broadband activities based on local loop on London from Telefonera. We see that business model is not offering sufficient margins, so we stick to broadband service offering based on own infrastructure, and that limits to a certain extent the growth potential around broadband. And this all in all put the accumulated pressure on the group revenues of Telenor in Sweden. So here we have to look at a combination of OPEX activities in order to get the cost structures in line with the revenue development, as well as looking over the CapEx side. And of course here the new agreement with Tele2 on the future mobile network is a likely plan long term.
Thank you. Are there any other questions here? We have a question over here, please.
Alex Mordura. Could you comment a little bit on a suggestion by Alpha Group during the middle of the Easter to combine the Kyivstar and the Vimpelcom transaction, especially concerning that you're potentially losing your entire investment in Vimpelcom and the fact that you then discharge the suggestion out of hand? Isn't that playing kind of all or nothing strategy?
Isn't that a kind of
quick? A all-or-nothing strategy.
Oh. Well, this is a huge question that you're raising, which has been ongoing for, as you know, I think we're in the fifth year. The activities that we have taken on in the U.S. Court system based upon the shareholding agreement in Ukraine, this is also part of the picture. Now, after all events and dust is settling, it seems like the process in the U.S. has led to the fact that our partner is now back on the base of the original shareholding agreement that was established in March 2004. And that is all very good. In this period, I don't know how many number of suggestions that has come. As rumors or as claimed, alleged possible solutions. And for us to comment on those kind of questions at any point in time has been very difficult. And should you say it's difficult at this point of time as well? So to sort of say that we have a pressure for one solution up against another solution is very difficult to have a direct opinion on, because of the challenges of sort of getting a reasonable alignment on how things is going to be operated in the longer term. And unfortunately, also on this occasion, we don't have clear answers to your questions on this time either, because there are a number of potential solutions between straight separation or different types of combination.
If there are no further questions from the present, I think we'll have time for questions from one of our internet participants before we're turning over to the ones participating on the phone. And I'll ask you a question from Nikhil Pawa from the company Medianama. And the question is, given the saturation in India's urban telecom markets, how do you plan to differentiate your services, particularly given that India is a low ARPU market?
That's not a surprising question. However, if we go deep into the competences of Telenor, the accumulated answer is to be found within how we are behaving in similar markets. Saturation, well, what kind of level of addressable market do we have in India? It's my firm belief that there is no reason why India should be should not be as par with neighboring countries when it comes to penetration of mobile phones. The tremendous benefit of being accessed for people in India for the first time is the same in that country as in any other countries that we've seen, rich or developing for that matter. So penetration will increase. It will probably double from beginning of this year towards the end of 2012. And in that perspective, Telenor will participate in building market share along with the business plan that we have described to you previously. So the question is, what kind of level of economic development will we see India have in the coming years? Because the economic development in general will, of course, also say something about the ARPU level to be expected. And here, the Indian economy is having a different set of analysis compared to the European region, for example, where birth figures are not even visible for the time being, whereas India is, and India and other economies in Asia are seeing significant positive figures. And it's in that environment that we're positioning Telenor with a service offering in the Unified Wireless operation.
Thank you. And other unanswered questions from the internet viewers will be dealt with individually after this presentation. I think we're ready to take the questions from those participating on the phone, and I will ask you please to limit the number of questions from each. Please introduce the first question.
First question is from Peter Nilsson, Schibra.
Thank you very much, Peter Kurt Nilsson from Schibra in London. A couple of questions, please. As you said, Frederick, you've had a strong performance in your domestic Norwegian operations, and you are talking about some savings on sales and marketing expenses in mobile, but your fixed line margin has also improved quite strongly. What have you done there, and is that improvement sort of sustainable, you believe? My second question is, you also talk about implementing efficiency and cost savings across the group. Some of your international businesses already have very high margins, of course, and are there any areas where you would particularly reflect to us where you believe you can improve sort of the cost structure within your operations? And finally, I'd be interested in the positive contribution from working capital to the cash flow in this quarter. Can we expect to see reversal in the following quarter, or is this sort of a sustainable improvement? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. I'm glad that you sort of noticed the fixed line operation in Norway. Yes, so there is a good quarter coming through. But I also have to say that if we are looking backwards for many quarters. I think the management of Fixed Line Operation Norway has done a phenomenal job to align cost structures with the development on the revenue side. Through a period where fixed to mobile migration, as I indicated for Sweden, has been particularly strong in Norway, of course driven by the very efficient and very high quality network that we do have in Norway, not only from our point of view, but also from a competition point of view. We believe the development over the quarters in history have been sustainable. We claim that we shall be able to monitor cost structures along with revenue development. And here we are having measures both on revenue enhancement as well as cost structure approach, deploying new technologies, looking for new efficiencies all the way through in the value chain. And we believe that we shall be able to maintain a reasonable margin from that operation mid-30s in the way we've done quite regularly, I should say. Then, when we're talking about efficiency measures across the mobile opcos, I don't think we can sort of say that those kind of measures will earn us a lot of margin enhancement from the existing situation. But on the other hand, we're looking to a combination of maintaining market share and margin level where we stand. And of course here the priorities up against cost structures and market share is important. And now we're talking market share measured by revenues, not only by customers, because all markets are moving into more mature situation when it comes to market growth measured by new customers. So here we need to find that balance in each and every market. And I think the Telenor operations has proved to do that reasonably well if we see how the market shares are standing throughout, say, the last four quarters. And that is our ambition to maintain. Maybe you, Trond, can give a comment on the working capital question.
Certainly. We had a positive development in the working capital for this quarter of 1.1 billion. Relating to the sustainability of that, this is of course a number that fluctuates up and down. I do think that the most fundamental guiding that we gave relative to the net debt development during 2009 we gave in the first quarter, and that said that is we're going to be the net debt we're going to remain fairly stable including India as during the 2009. I do think that is sort of the fundamental element, and if you exclude then the currency effects of the first quarter of approximately 3.5 billion, you're basically coming into that category. Whether you see that what elements, whether they're going to come out of working capital effects of the 1.1 billion or some other effects, I do think that the it's still going to be sustainable that we're going to have a flattish net debt development, including India, during 2009.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Next question is from Mr. Stefan Peterson, Nordea.
Yes, hello. Congratulations to a very strong cash flow this quarter. Looking at your guidance, you've delivered stable organic revenues, and you also state in the presentation that there is some risk on the downside on revenues. At the same time, you delivered a very strong operating cash flow. Given the sort of sales development, and if you see further weakness in sales, would you also believe that you could compensate this by cutting down further on CapEx? And then sort of would the guidance of 15 to 17% CapEx to sales, would you agree that probably that is also tilted to the downside? You delivered very impressive margins in Bangladesh, and that was partly due to lower subsidies in the market. Do you see that environment continues so that you believe that you can maintain very solid margins in Bangladesh? Thank you.
Yeah, not every day that we're being congratulated, so thank you for that one. But on the more serious note, of course, we are coming, Telenor operations are coming from an environment where growth has been sort of the number one criteria to handle. And in a period where that growth element is not strong anymore, then we do not need to deploy the same level of capacity to handle the growth side of the operation. And then I'm talking about number of growth method in number of customers and number of minutes being processed through the system. Negative growth can of course also come from intensive competition and price reductions, seeing traffic volumes increasing. That is another sort of balance of growth which is there. So our ability to align and reduce capex in such an environment is in a way proven through this quarter. So yes, there is a relationship between traffic volume and customer growth figures up against what kind of capex level that we're looking forward. But to say that we, based upon this quarter, is then revising our capex guidance, that is a too strong statement to take. As for Bangladesh, I think the Bangladeshi market, as other markets in Asia, they will be more volatile in the sense that we will get very strong quarters, margin-wise, and we might get weaker quarters, margin-wise, because there is an event around in the marketplace that shifts the balance on how your service offering is balancing up against competitors. I think we have shown that that is part of the picture throughout 2009, and I think we can expect that to happen also in 2009. But our aim is clear. That is to maintain market share measured by revenue and to maintain a healthy and good margin on the operation. In Bangladesh in particular also, we've had a cutback on the mobile termination rates as a sudden move by the regulator. And also that kind of event, of course, may have impact into future reported figures. But Grameenphone is presently standing in a very strong position, and of course we have the ambition of keeping Grameenphone at that level.
Okay, thank you very much.
Next is from Internet Now, U.S.-based research.
Hi, yeah, it's doing this at U Street Research. A couple of questions, please. First of all, on M&A, can I just check, there are some Asian assets up for sale, Cambodia and Sri Lanka, which I'm sure you'll know about. Can you, just to be clear, rule out any interest in those assets? And then secondly, on India, I don't suppose I can necessarily get you to give any guidance for 2010, but could you perhaps confirm that 2009 will be the year of peak operating free cash flow losses? Could I sort of draw any possible comments there? And then just finally on Serbia, the mobile tax you've talked about, 10%, are there any other countries that you're aware of where a similar tax is being discussed? Thank you.
Sean, maybe you have questions.
When it comes to the M&A situation, when we announced the India transaction and also updated on the business case on India, we were very clear that relative to the financial flexibility and the balance sheet elements of Telenor, we were clear that the likelihood of Telenor going into an acquisition or an M&A transaction of any size within the next couple of years is remote. So hopefully that's the answer. We never comment on any of country-specific issues or any deal-specific issues as such, but in general, I do think that we have given the market every impression that the likelihood of us going into a bigger M&A transaction during this period is remote. coming to the peak loss on operating operations in 2009, we said the we haven't given any specific guidance relative to that. That really is depending on how we see the launch and the pickup coming in 2010. So we need to get back to you relative to how we want to address that specific issues, in addition to the specific business case that we presented to the market in the beginning of this year. Coming to the tax situation, the government in each of our countries is seldom discussing those kind of decisions, whether they want to put on 10% on additional taxes to us. So they usually come as a surprise to us as well. So as a fact, no, we don't have any views or knowledge about any other countries that have that element. But relative to the situation we're in the countries we are making, in the countries we are making a substantial amount of money, of course the governments are going to look at the telecom industry as a source of government income. So that is the risk, that it might come, but we have no knowledge of any new ones.
Great, thank you.
Next, Mr. Maurice Patrick, JP Morgan.
Hi there. Quick questions. First one on Kyivstar. I mean, we saw a significant slowdown in the quarter. Can you just give an indication of the timing of that? Was it more towards the end of the quarter or gradual for the whole lot? And secondly, on India cash flow, there's clearly lots of concern about the impact on the group cash flow and resumption of dividends from the India rollout. You talked about the 3 billion Norwegian kroner minimum commitment on leases, and you said you're taking a circle-by-circle approach. But given your refinancing confidence about 2 to 3 years, can you confirm that you would halt or cut back on rollout if the India plan doesn't go to your business case? Thank you.
In Kyivstar, slowdown, yes, there is a slowdown element in third quarter, which is significant compared to the last years as well as the end of 2008. Will it continue? The traffic volumes in April is at par with what they were in March. Is that the bottom? How difficult to say, but it might be a sign of a rather sluggish development, but that is a speculation. But April means production is more sluggish compared to March than what March was to February. As for India, of course, if there is events in this market that drastically sort of tilts the balance or shows development, we will reconsider. But we are not at that point of time now, and that is a question that belongs to the future. We have given you and the market a description on our India initiative. And if significant elements around that project basically tilts or shifts or have us to reconsider priorities, we will of course do that. But on the other hand, the project as it has been described is now beginning to get on stream.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Mr. Jan Adlansky, Handelsbanken. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Most of my questions have been answered. Jan Adlansky, Handelsbanken. Just a detail on Wimpercom, the 1.6 billion currency loss. Is that your share of FX losses in Wimpercom, or is that the total FX loss in Wimpercom?
It's not 1.6, it's 1.9.
Sorry, 1.9.
And it's our share.
Okay, thank you.
Jacob Bluestone, Merrill Lynch.
Oh, hi there, Jacob Bluestone from Merrill Lynch. Just one more question on CapEx. I understand your comments about part of CapEx being growth-related, and I was just wondering if it's possible for you to be a little bit more specific about what sort of percent of your CapEx you see as growth-related and what percent you perhaps see as more maintenance. And then secondly, just a point of clarification. when you're talking about flat net debt in 09 versus 08, I didn't quite understand, was that including or excluding FX impacts? Thanks.
Well, if I start on the CapEx side, what proportion is growth related and what proportion is maintenance related? I mean, this is very much varying from country to country, depending on the state of technology, the state of penetration, the state of growth. So it's a very challenging question to answer. What crossed my mind is what happened in 2006-07 here in Norway, where we were down at maintenance CapEx as low as 3 to 5% for a period of time. But maybe that is the level which has to do with the long-term maintenance factor. That's my best sort of estimate to your question right here. Maybe you can make the latter part?
Yeah, on the debt side. My guiding or my comments were on that if you exclude the currency exchange differences during 2009, I do think that you're going to see the level of debt, net debt, at the end of 2009, as you saw in 2008, basically saying that we're not going to take on additional debt to pay the expansion plans in India.
That's great. Thank you.
Mr. Timothy Diaco in Vedomsti, please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you. You've already mentioned situation in Wimpelcom, but I'd like to ask you to specify. Do you assume that there is a possibility that you will lose the stake in the company, and which steps you are now taking to stop it? And in which stage are negotiations with your partner of, if it's possible to specify? Thank you very much.
I don't think we can be add anything more to that question compared to what was asked in this room previously on this presentation. We are confident that the process around our own protective work around the Wimpelcom holding will give results, and that the ultimate ruling here will be accordingly. However, there is a risk that events might lead to something in between here, which we cannot rule out. But of course, we are working on different levels towards the Russian and our partner in order to secure our position. And I can't be more detailed than that. As for what kind of talks there is, then we're back to the same question as before. Yes, there are, we're meeting our friends on board meetings and on our locations, and yes, there are, of course, also talks among us. But to be specific and to say that, yes, there is something that is more clear than something else is not possible at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Dimovic, Exadi, please.
Thank you. Good morning. Justine Dimovic from Exxon. I've got a few follow-up questions, please. Firstly, if you can indicate what the anticipated impact from the big MDR cut at Grameenphone on revenues and margins going forward. And how big, that's my second question, how big is the corporate or B2B market for you as a percentage of group revenues, and more specifically as a percentage of revenues from Eastern Europe, if that's possible, that would be great. Thank you.
I don't know if we have those details readily at hand here, but the MTR cut in Bangladesh is significant. It was basically cut in half. With an immediate effect from, I don't remember exactly the date that it was launched, but it was sometime in March. However, at the same time, the regulator also set a minimum price at the retail level, in that sense that
the immediate push on market prices that you could expect from an MTR cut of that size will not be redirected into end-user prices. So, basically, this is a type of regulation which is not necessarily very helpful to bring forward healthy competition longer term. But on the other hand, GP has proven to be able to handle surprising moves by regulators before. This is the environment that these companies are operating in. There will be moves that you cannot immediately expect. And the strength and the position of Grameen Cohen has shown that we have been able to act accordingly, and I take it that we have that ability also into the future. Sean, do you have you been able to the B2B percentage and the Russian percentage and the East European percentage?
No, I don't think so.
I think we have to refer that question to investor relations to be direct. Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Next, Guillaume, it's Askem, company ODDO.
Hey, good morning, thank you. The question, it looks like you had a good handset sales in Wind Mobile. I was wondering if it was some kind of one-off effect in this quarter, if you think it's a deeper trend. And the second question relates to CEE and more specifically your good performance compared to the market. It looks like you're outperforming the market you are present on. How would you explain that, and would you expect this outperformance to continue in the next quarter? Thanks.
As I understood your question, the sustainability of Mobile Norway. We do believe that the Norwegian economy is at least presently less affected by a financial crisis. Our economy is in Norway more directed to, more dependent on the oil sector. And as long as the oil sector is not cutting back on significant investment activities, I think the domestic economy in Norway is, compared to many other international economies, fairly well structured. So we reckon that our ability to hold on to our position in Norway is present. As to the outperforming in Central and Eastern Europe, I can see my head of that region, Mr. Tigerson, nodding on the first row here. He likes to hear that we are outperforming, but on the other hand, we have been urging our company to really be at their toes when it comes to handle the competitive situation and position, and be alert. Of course, the Ukrainian market has been characterized by fantastic growth figures, not only for Kyivstar, to the last 3 to 4 years. Now there is a correction to that growth line, and that we've seen that and we've experienced that in other Telenor operations, and we were able to communicate that also to the management of Kyivstar to take the necessary corrective action to this kind of new, I should say, level that this market has come to. I think they are prepared and well organized to approach such a situation, but of course also it is challenging for management to move from a definite growth phase into the opposite. But we've experienced it before, and we're working closely with his management to approach such a situation.
Okay, thank you.
I believe we have one more question among the phone participants.
Mr. Peter Nielsen, Chevron.
Thank you. Just a quick follow-up question. You hold LTE licenses and spectrum in both Norway and Sweden with the aim of launching services late next year. Have you said, or will you give us any indications for how much you expect to spend on rolling out LTE in Norway particularly, but also in Sweden? I know it's done in the joint venture. And when do you think we'll start to see meaningful impact on CapEx from this? Thank you.
No, I cannot give you an indication on that as of now. The technology is immature, very early. There is a lot to go on high-speed internet, just the DPA-based, as we where we stand. So it's too early to touch upon that dimension. Sorry.
Okay.
We also have one follow-up question from Martin Hoff here, in, present in the audience.
In light of your success in reducing CapEx and strong cash flow, and also the refinancing of some of your debt profiles in 2012, do you think it's possible for Telenor to pay dividends for 2009?
The question for the answer to that, as of now, no, we don't expect that. We still maintain the decision that we had of the guidance that we're going to suspend the dividend payout for 2 years. And it's too soon. Relative to India and the need of cash relative to that, as I said, it's a slight delay relative to going to the right, but other plans relative to India hasn't changed fundamentally. They haven't started rolling out, so it might change, so it might affect, but it's definitely too soon to say. So our firm opinion is that we're going to suspend the dividend for 2 years.
And that concludes the Q&A session, and I would like to thank all of you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.